This is Degaris, Masculist, MGTOW, Flyers. That is two three-page essays on the themes of masculism and MGTOW, written by and read aloud by Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. This is flyer number 466, part two of three parts, entitled The Masculist Case for Budding Female Masculists. Carrying straight on. Bullet. The fipping of women. One of the major political goals of the masculists is the creation of a fip society. That is, one in which nearly all women are fips, socialized by parents and educated by teachers and professors to be fips, so that they pull their financial weight equally with men, sharing the burden of earning the living equally with men, and not being fluffies. As masculinist ideas spread across the world, the quality of life of fluffies will only become increasingly intolerable as more and more men spit in their face for being a hated, manslaving, bloody fluffy. As billions of men see fluffydom as manslavery, then billions of women will be forced to become fips, or eventually be killed, since fluffydom is a war issue to the masculists, who use the above logic, that is, fluffydom is manslavery is slavery, slavery is a moral abomination, that is a war issue to the masculists, so hated is it, that a man is forced to work for a fluffy for decades in order to get a bit of sex from her from time to time. Masculists are men's libbers, and liberation for masculists is liberation from manslavery, from working for fluffies for decades of their lives, a gender crime that is so severe that it is a war issue for masculists. As parents become masculisted, they will brainwash their daughters that if they don't fip up and become real fips as adults, then they will be cast out of society. Young men will spit at them for not fipping up, and their young female lives will be made utterly miserable. There will be many suicides of young fluffies as they are viscerally rejected by quality men who have been masculisted, that is, they have been educated into masculist ideas and values. Bullet. Men fair, that's the verb, the divorce courts. Masculists see the divorce courts as maintaining the traditional gender roles, that is, husband slash father as the sole breadwinner of the nuclear family, and the wife slash mother as the full-time child raiser of the nuclear family. These traditional gender roles made sense over a century ago when there was no contraception and couples often had a dozen kids, so looking after them at home by the mother was definitely a full-time job. But in the modern world, women now have a career window of half a century, so must work or be treated as a hated fluffy by an increasingly masculisted world. The feminists took over the divorce courts in the 70s, relabeling them family courts, bringing their new feminist values with them, seeing men as toxic, as oppressors of women. So by taking power of the divorce courts, these feminist divorce court lawyers and judges were in a position to impose a measure of revenge on men. These feminists who controlled the divorce courts were not bi-conscious, since masculism was not a thing in the 70s. So by default, they still had traditional expectations of men, seeing men as cash machines to pay for women to have babies. For these monoconscious feminist divorce court lawyers and judges, when a divorce occurred, the only difference between the divorcing couple pre- and post-divorce was that the man, the ex-husband, was no longer present in his house that he paid for, no longer living with his wife and kids. The feminists brought in no-fault divorce in the 70s as well. So now 70% of divorces are started by women. As a result of this, a quarter of fathers are now financially massacred and have their lives ruined in these hated, fluffy feminist-controlled divorce courts. Masculists see the feminists who control these divorce courts as fluffy feminists, since these feminists still have traditional fluffy expectations of men, seeing men as the breadwinners who have to be financially massacred so that the ex-wife can continue to parasite off her ex-husband's money after the divorce, the way she did before the divorce. So in practice, divorcing fathers suffer routinely the following massive gender crimes committed against them by the hated fluffy feminist divorce courts, lawyers and judges. He will lose custody of his kids with a 90% probability. Young men see this happening with their fathers, uncles, older male friends, and decide not to marry and have kids, since a one chance in four of losing his kids is way too high. So they quite reasonably decide that it's in their self-interest not to marry, not to have kids. So they choose to live the MGTOW lifestyle of not marrying and rejecting paternity. Such men see modern marriage as such a shitty deal for men that they wipe their hands of it. The divorcing father will be forced to hand over his house to his ex-wife so that she can raise her kids in it. He will be forced to pay her child support for his kids, whom he will barely see, maybe two weekend visits a month. He will lose half his wealth to her, half his stuff. And if his ex-wife is a real fluffy parasite, he may be forced to pay her alimony for the rest of his life, with no legal nor moral obligation on her to get off her fat parasitic ass and fip up so that she stops parasiting off him for decades. Maskers have an even greater hatred for the fluffy feminists in the divorce courts than they do for fluffies. It's bad enough that these fluffy feminists are fluffies and hence manslavers. But they are also hypocrites, since they want equal rights with men in the parliaments, but reject equal obligations with men in not sharing equally with men the burden of earning the living, by not bothering to fip up at high school and college. Thus they behave as feminists in the parliaments, but as fluffies in the divorce courts. They want their cake and to eat it too. They are fluffy feminist hypocrites. Maskers see the fluffy feminist control divorce courts as a war zone, and if the divorce laws are not soon men fared, then maskers soldiers will murder thousands of these fluffy feminists, seeing them as indirect genociders, since they have made divorce so toxic for men that two-thirds of young men in many countries now reject marriage and paternity. A divorcing father has a suicide rate 10 times higher than a divorcing mother, who benefits greatly from financially fleecing her ex-husband. Some of these divorcing women even hold divorce parties, so great is their sadism towards their ex-husbands. The divorce laws in their current form are so toxic for men that maskers talk increasingly of a sex war, in which maskers soldiers argue that these hated fluffy feminists who control the divorce courts are indirect genociders, wiping out whole populations, so have to be stopped with bullets if necessary. When populations are threatened with their very survival, they often go to war to stop this happening. If the divorce laws are not soon men-fared, then thousands of fluffy feminist divorce court lawyers and judges will be murdered. And if the sex war really heats up, then maskers soldiers may even go out into the streets and simply shoot millions of fluffy feminists. So great will their hatred be against fluffy feminists whom maskers see as utter hypocrites. Bullet. Legislate the para, that's paternity rejection right. The most blatant form of sexual discrimination that exists is not against women, but against men, in the form of there being no para, that's paternity rejection right. Women have the mara, that's maternity rejection right, aka the abortion right. So women have the legal right to reject an unwanted pregnancy, but men don't. Women still see men as cash machines to pay for women to have babies. Even the law sees men this way. Maskers push hard for the legislation of the para so that men are not forced to pay for decades for a kid he doesn't want. This basic sexual inequality screams out for reform, but it is likely that it will be fought tooth and nail by the fluffies, because the legislation of the para will force, in capital letters, women to grow up, to fib up. Since when the para comes in, a woman who wants to allow her pregnancy to run to term while her male sexual partner doesn't, she will then get full financial responsibility for the kid, which by definition is what the para is. This prospect will scare millions of women shitless, so they will fight it, despite the utter hypocrisy of them knowing that women have the mara, yet they don't want men to have the para. This hypocrisy only makes Maskus hate such fluffy women all the more. Maskus theorists are very conscious that the fipping of women is basic to men's lib, freeing men from decades of manslavery to women. With nearly all women as fips, the legislation of the para is made much easier, since a fip single mother is in a much stronger position to pay for a nanny to look after her kid while she is at work. Those fluffy feminists who oppose the legislation of the para will be castigated by the masculists, who will hurl abuse at them for their utter hypocrisy, their female solipsism, their callous disregard for men's issues, even their very blindness of men's issues. Bullet. Establish parliamentary gender equality committees. Another major sexual discrimination against men is that many parliaments have gender equality committees, but in practice they are concerned only with women's issues, thus making their very title hypocritical. Maskus aim to create gender equality committees in parliaments which consist half of female feminists and half of male masculists, so that both sets of gender political issues, that is, feminist and masculist, are treated equally, which is far from being the case today. The aim of the male masculist half will be to mend fair the gender laws, since they are politicians whose job it is to make the laws. These parliamentary male gender politicians will push for the mend fairing of the divorce courts, the fipping of women, the legislation of the para, the boy faring of the schools, in brackets, see later, etc., etc. They will have their hands busy, since they will also need to educate society better into the idea that gender oppression is a two-way street, a lesson that in today's world most people, certainly most monoconscious feminists, don't know. Bullet. Boy fare the schools. In many Western countries, the percentage of primary school teachers who are men is as low as 10 to 20%. Since most boys hardly see their fathers during the day, since their fathers are off to work each weekday, these boys grow up in a female-dominated environment. Many of the female primary school teachers are monoconscious feminists who preach their feminist ideas to these young boys, for example, men are rapists, men are toxic, men cause the wars, etc., giving these young boys no male role model, nothing to be proud of for being male. This demoralizes them and gives them an inferiority complex. Maskus aim to increase the salaries of male primary school teachers as a form of reverse discrimination, so that the proportion of male to female primary school teachers is made roughly equal, so that young boys can be given pride in being male. These male primary school teachers will be increasingly masculists, who can tell these young boys that men are smarter than women, that men have 10% larger brains, that men win 99% of the science Nobel Prizes, etc., giving young boys reason to puff out their chests and feel real pride in being male. A similar story holds, although not as bad, in secondary schools, where even majors like math and physics are now taught mostly by women. 60% of secondary teachers are female. This has to change. Today's primary and secondary school teachers are essentially female, which ignores the role model needs of half of their students. It is critically important that young students develop strong and healthy self-images, but without male teacher role models for young boys, that is not going to happen, which is a major gender crime against boys. Society needs to be boy-fared, the way society needs to be men-fared. This is the end of part two.